It's the Astro Man. We call him David Renicky. David, hello.
Good to be back with you, Bilko.
Yes, last time we chatted, I was about to have my 50th birthday, and let's just say it took me a long while to recover, so I apologise.
Well, I got some bad news. How old? 50?
50.
I got some bad news for you. It doesn't get any better. No, look, best years ahead of you if you can handle the aches and groans and pains, you know.
Life sounds sweet for you.
Yeah. I've just come back from the doc. He told me that the pain in my back is caused by age.
Oh.
I said, can you do anything about it? He said, no. My next question was, and they don't like this. I have fun with doctors. I love them. I said to him, is there anything in medical science that will reverse aging? They don't see the joke anymore, unfortunately.
If they can do it, they'll bottle it, and they would all make a fortune.
Terrible when you get old, Bill. Can I tell you what? Nobody knows. I mean, you couldn't have told me when I was 17, 18. You know, my dad used to groan when he got off the floor there, and when I picked my pen up off the carpet here off the floor of my office, I groan a bit too. But
with age comes great wisdom, and that's why we love consulting you.
Yeah. What's up top is the thing that counts.
Exactly.
Know?
Now, explain this to me. There is talk about the Australian Space Agency will not be a down-under version of NASA. What do they mean by that?
Oh, you mean the Clayton Space Agency?
David, hello. So you're not impressed with the Australian...
Not at all, no. Look, I think this is a little bit sad, you know, in a lot of ways. Now, I'll tell you why, because they've just come out with a statement. The people who are putting this together or responsible for doing that have come out with some comments here that don't really fit what my preconceived idea of this was. And it wasn't an ill preconceived idea. It was an idea and a sort of a vision based on what they were telling us prior to all this coming true. Now, what we were told was that we looked like we're getting, for the first time, we talked about this, an industry, a space industry here in Australia. Well, okay, we are, but we're not. Now, let me explain that.
Okay.
The money that was given to them was quite a lot. There's a lot of money there, but the amount to start this up was only half of what they really needed. So they're at a disability from the start there with a small amount of money. I mean, I could have accepted that if I knew what was ahead. And I was under the understanding there and under the feeling that we were going to have a launch capability here. Not launching astronauts, but launching rockets and infrastructure.
Well, that'd be awesome, now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it doesn't appear to be that it may go strictly like that. Now, the Strategic Policy Institute, the lead advisor there is Dr. Malcolm Davis. Now, he said that a space agency is not going to be a NASA down under. So don't expect anything like what they do there. I wasn't over-expecting anything, Dr. Malcolm Davis, but I was expecting a little less than this comment. Here's what he said, quote, it's not going to be an all-encompassing organization that builds hardware, launches hardware, understand that, runs space missions. Instead, the agency will coordinate funding, research and policy in a bid to, listen, drive private sector investment.
What's the
this
point
isn't
of
intermediary.
That? Nah, look, who cares about that, Dave? We want rockets launched. We want Australia to put our own mission to Mars.
It's another statement that tells me that we're still the little engine that could.
Yeah.
Now, the West Australian Science Minister, Dave Kelly, is at odds with Ben Carroll, who's the industry minister from Victoria. They're having a big party between them. They want it in their state, Western Australia, saying the geographic advantages there with, thriving space industry they've already got. I'd like to know where it is. It gives them the advantage. Now, also, the Victorian have come out now. Minister Ben Carroll has requested a meeting with the federal government at the end of June to press their case for Victoria being home to the aerospace industry.
Yeah, forget about Victoria. WA's perfect. It's where all the raw materials are.
And even up north, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing that concerned me most. Now, we were told there were going to be jobs in this for Australians. This is the quote. This is what Dr. Malcolm Davis, the Policy Institute space leader, said. He's the one that's running this. Quote, the agency is not going to be the job creator that some think it is. Now, this is where it gets...
That's a slap in the face to all of us. We thought, our kids have a future.
A space agency might employ, underline, at the most, a few hundred, maybe a thousand people. On a countrywide basis?
No.
It's not going to employ 20,000 people. I say again, this to me is something like they're building a halfway house. And whoever comes along can pick up bits and pieces, go on and build from there on. It might be a good start. It might be a start to get the basis of a space industry going here. But if private sector development can come in here, doesn't that mean that some of that money's go back to their own country?
That's right, exactly.
That's my feeling on it. Now, I just see this, as I said in my opening statement, I wasn't being nasty, I'm not being catty, I'm just being practical here. After seeing this fall over so many times before, as I said to you, this is a Clayton space industry by the look of it. It's not quite what we were told it was going to be, and I don't think it lives up to the expectations of a lot of people like me who were hoping that this is going to be a place where we built, launched rockets, did our own thing and got in on the first rung of the ladder of this burgeoning new industry called space. Space tourism, space mining, launching rockets and satellites. Look, I'll stop here because if I go any further, you're going to have to...
Let
have
me
to
be angry for you, David. This is...
You get my point of view anyway.
Of course I do. And the thing, I'm angry because, you know, my child, she wants to be an engineer. It'd be great for her to stay in Australia and work in an industry here.
Yeah, well, they probably can, but it's not going to be a burgeoning industry. I mean, here we are 50 years now into the human spaceflight program, maybe more, even up to 60 years, and this is the only developed country in the world that doesn't have any space presence whatsoever.
Read more about it at davidrenicky.com. I love this story here. There's a startup that's raised money to build a space catapult.
Oh, why not?
What the hell would you use it for?
Oh, Shanghai.
Shanghai, what, a craft?
Well, the Shanghai is a catapult.
Yeah, but what the Shanghai, the craft in it? Why would you use a catapult? What possible means does it have for a space craft or space journey?
The old Romans used these a long time ago to break walls down, didn't they, with boulders?
Yeah.
Now, this idea is it's built on a concept put together many years ago by one of the greatest visionaries, you know, that I've ever come across, and this was an idea that was put forward by a man called Gerard O'Neill. Now, nobody knows or remembers him, but his concepts were way in front of anybody's. And in the 70s, he envisaged big rotating space stations where we were growing crops and people were living. But he also came up with the idea of a mass driver. In other words, a conveyor belt system that would scoop ore up on the moon or on Mars, shoot it up into orbit around the planet or around the moon and be picked up by spacecraft. This idea is to throw a spacecraft into space at high speed. It's going to be a centrifuge, a big wheel, Bilko, that spins, this, 5,000 k an hour. Now, that's pretty quick. That's many times the speed of sound. Three times faster than Concorde ever flew. Now, the idea behind it is to get enough momentum behind it that the flinging action, the actual catapulting itself, will blast or throw this hardware into orbit around the Earth. And if it doesn't, they've got little rockets built in the side that might help it. Okay, now you might ask yourself, why the heck would you want to do this? Well, it's simply dollars. I'll tell you how it works out very quickly. NASA, when they have the space shuttle, they were charging $500 million to launch anything. $500 million to put your satellite into orbit, and people were paying it. Countries were paying it.
Yeah.
Now, along comes SpaceX, and Elon Musk got it down to $57
million. Oh, good on him. That's bargain basement compared to NASA, isn't it?
Quite a lot of money, but it's much cheaper. Now, spin launch is what they're called. Spin launch. And they've already got fundraising up to $35 million, by the way. They've got people, investors coming in left, right, and centre. Spin Launch believe that they can do this for $500,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, you see the big advantage.
You and I could afford to put something up there.
You could go inside one. Nobody would be launching inside. It'd just be infrastructure, satellites, equipment, and materials. So the idea would be to spin this very quickly.
Oh, David, hang on. Don't worry. Someone for a dare or for a publicity stunt will sit inside one of these these things just to get the the publicity.
No, it would be plum jam by the time you got out of there. But look, these are many ideas. There's a lot of ideas at the moment. We're looking at a brand new industry here. Space is all new to us. And this is only one of what you might think is a wacky idea that could become developed in the near future.
DavidRenicky.com has more on that story, the space catapult. Look, people are willing to pay. It's incredible. Mars, we love Mars. Have we got an approach happening with Mars? Is it coming to a very close point here in planet Earth?
Yeah, on the 31st of July next month, watch out. This is going to be a big deal all around the world. Mars is going to be closer to us than it's been in, probably 15 years. Mars at the moment is amazing. I want you to do something tonight. Everyone listening, I want you to go and have a look in the east about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Now, in the east, where the sun rises for you, you're going to see this brilliant red orb in the sky. It is absolutely brilliant. It's the second brightest thing at the moment next to Jupiter and the moon. Well, next to the moon, it's almost as bright as Jupiter. Jupiter's high overhead. But go and have a look at this. It's stunning. The red effect is so obvious there. When you look at it, you're looking at Mars. Now, at the end of next month, when it comes close to us, it's going to be so good, so close, that people will be able to see the polar caps, little white polar caps.
Wow.
With a moderate-sized telescope,
wow,
and even surface marking. But I've got to tell you, there's a bit of bad news associated with it. At the moment, there's a huge dust storm blowing up on the planet that's starting to cover it over. Now, dust storms on Mars can be pretty vicious. They can cover the entire planet. This one itself is so big at the moment that it's big enough to cover the complete part of Northern America. And it's somewhere around about, I think, if I remember looking at the figures, about 10 billion acres in size.
God.
Caused by willy-willies on the planet, yeah, like we get in the outback, bringing the dirt and the dust up. So Mars at the moment has got a lot of dust around it, but that red colour is certainly striking. Go and have a look at it tonight.
Any mission to Mars would have to be able to somehow counteract that dust. That seems to be a major problem there.
Well, you remember the movie The Martian? They did play up on that and simulate it too. So that's what you'd probably get. But Mars at the moment, look, the sky is so good, Bilko. You've got Jupiter high overhead. Back behind you, setting in the west, is brilliant Venus, so bright that it looks like a beacon in the sky. And you've got Jupiter high overhead, and just in the direction of Mars itself, coming up on the horizon about the same time, is Saturn. So we've got two or three good planets in the sky to have a look at. They're going to get even better as time goes on, because over the next few weeks, they're going to rise a little bit earlier. But let me just say this in finishing, that if you've got a telescope and you want to do some viewing, get out there early, because you're going to find after an hour outside, maybe an hour and a half, your telescope's going to dew up. Ours did, and we're having a lot of trouble with it.
Dew up, God.
They gather condensation very quickly. When you bring your telescope inside, do not bring it into a heated room. Leave it out in the laundry so it can acclimatise to cool down properly, and point your telescope to the ground. Don't leave the telescope open to the sky like you did when you were out in the... because all that water will run down the inside of the tube onto your mirror. The best idea is to turn it upside down, leave it pointing downwards, and just wait half an hour or so and put it away.
Great advice from the man who knows telescopes inside out, David Reneke. All there at davidreneke.com. In fact, some really cool deals on telescopes if you want to get hold of them. You'll find leads and links there. David, till next week, my friend.
Talk to you then.